and MPJ wasn't
Warrior in it. Fans can come in here, the Celtic fans can come in here, Laker fans come in here, but take that L on the way out.
Dallas coming off a loss last night to San Antonio, 119-109, as Murray hits the three. Nine to shoot. Grant sets up Gary Harris. Good look there. Two question I asked to one of their insiders tonight. He's not there yet. He's had some more work. Grant, he checks straight away. Yes! Murray to Jokic.
This is Take That L, GoldMileHigh.com Network. Your place to get weekly Denver Nuggets news, highlights, and opinions with your host, Arthur Knight, and your co-host, Nick Basher.
All right. What's up, Colorado? What's going down, Denver? You know what's going down tonight. It is going down. The Nuggets are playing Game 7. I am Arthur Knight, and this is Take That L. With me is my main man, Anthony, the intern, Romano.
Yes, sir.
I finally have this man's name right, for those who listen to the show. I finally got this brother's name right. Say hello to the people, though.
Anthony. People, it's deja vu right now, Arthur. We were in the same point, same chairs, same situation last week, and there's no place I would rather be right now. The Man. City's on fire right now.
The city is humming right now. I mean, minus the Broncos crapping their pants yesterday. It's been pretty good sports-wise the past few weeks for Denver. I mean, it's been really good. The other night, man, I probably pissed my neighbors off. I spent most of the third and fourth quarter screaming at my TV.
Understandable.
My daughters were like, we're going to go in the room now and just close the door because we don't want to hear this.
And then it finally went from bad screams to good screams.
Oh, it was good screams the whole way. Like, it was encouraging screams. It was, come on, move your feet. Come on with the defense.
Yeah,
you know, it was that type of stuff. I'm always encouraging.
Motivating.
They have to hear me through the TV.
Exactly.
If they don't hear me, they don't win.
It's because of you that we came back.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm the hype man of the year.
they should have just flew you out to the bubble, honestly.
Man,
I don't think it's too late.
One day they will. All right. Make sure you follow us on Facebook at Take That L, and you can follow us also on Twitter at Take That L5. You can follow me at Arthur Knight or A Knight Sports, and let the people know where they can follow you, Anthony.
It's Romanthony23, Romanthony23. That is the same handle for Twitter and Instagram.
All right. And Malone in Game 6 sparks a rally with a pep talk about believing in his team.
18-point lead. Under 8.5 to go. The Nuggets trying to extend this to a Game 7. This is a stunning, riveting, compelling comeback by the Denver Nuggets. Can they do it again? They did it against Utah. They were down 3-1. Now they'll try to do it again against the Clippers.
Fighting, Black. Keep fighting, Black. I believe in you guys, man. Keep fighting.
All right. Now, that was Malone at the end of that. That's basically the commentators talking about, you know, the Nuggets winning the Game 6. But for me, the most important, poignant part of that whole clip was the end where Malone says, keep fighting, Black, keep fighting, Black. You know, I believe in you. Now, when I was watching that during the game, I saw only Millsap put his hand in and, you know, go team. When they came out of that, I was thinking to myself, Anthony, I was like, oh, no. This team has no fight left.
You thought they lost it?
I thought they had no fight left. And I hate that. I had that feeling. But right after Malone said that, the Clippers, Paul George came down and essentially, in my opinion, fouled Murray. Landed on him. To me, changed the whole dynamic of the game.
Little Jordan rules.
Yeah, yeah. He basically landed right on him, and that should have been a foul.
That was a pretty blatant no call, but
it really was. I mean, the Nuggets still forced a Game 7 with an epic comeback late in the third and fourth quarter of Game 6. The Nuggets shoot 54% from the floor and 48% from three. I was saying before the game on a in this group I'm in on Facebook that the Nuggets, in order to win this game, and it goes same for tonight's game, is that they would have to shoot over 50% from the floor and over 45% from three in order to win. And they did that. They also held the Clips to 20% from the floor in the third quarter and 41% for the game, plus 37% from three. Now, you can credit that to the Nuggets defense in the second half, especially that 20% shooting from the floor. Now, the Clips did go a little cold from three because they were shooting 50% in the first half. From both the floor and from three. The Nuggets also hit 70% of their free throws, got 41 boards, 26 assists, and 40 points in the paint, which is their best or one of their best games in the bubble to date. Murray does go down hard. Like I said, he got injured to a certain extent, but he showed some heroics in the fourth quarter. Finished the game with 21 total points, 5 boards and assists. To me, he played with the biggest heart after the Clips tried to and literally attempted to rough him up the rest of the game. Specifically, Paul George, PG-13, was trying to rough him up hard. And then sometime, I believe it was in the late third or early fourth quarter, he does this spin move on PG-13, takes him straight to the racks and posterizes him. He bammed it on him. And it was the most beautiful thing to see, especially when he had been holding his hip that whole time.
And I think the biggest thing about that, too, is obviously we know what happened with Murray against the Jazz. He's really only had an okay series thus far. Part of that is them focusing on him. And, I mean, there's three All-NBA defenders on the floor at any one time.
Right, first team All-Defenders.
Yeah, good point.
2 6 men of the year.
Good point. Like, so, I mean, the defense has been hounding him this entire time. But to see, you know, that glimpse again, that turn it on in the fourth like he did, it was great. And it was everything. Jump shots, getting to the rim.
Well, I think he recognized that they were trying to bully him and rough him up. And he took that and fed off of it. And I think that is Murray's pedigree.
Oh, it
right?
speaks volumes about him.
His
as
character,
a player.
His character as a player is beyond reproach.
Yeah. I mean, it helps too. You know, he put on 12 pounds, I think, a muscle, they were saying,
yeah,
just in the break from here. So right, he's obviously doing what he needs to do to get his body to be able to go through the contact and go to toe-to-toe with those guys, you know, as a smaller
slashing scorer. He may have to put
scorer.
On a little bit more after that whole PG-13 incident.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it was more the fall than the actual hit.
Well, it was the fall plus a 220-pound man landing on your hip. So it's like hardwood floor, 220 pounds of bone.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so,
Paul George is not a small guy.
No, and he hit the ground with such velocity and force. That's why it really should have been a foul. Not only was Paul George jumping forward, but the body contact, and then he landed on him. It was like the whistle didn't get blown, but
right,
you know, that's here nor there. It happened. We move on.
That's a good point.
Harris has shown up in such a big way in this series. Right after Murray got injured, he basically took the helm, started bringing the ball up, etc. He stepped up and grabbed the momentum, especially in the second quarter, sparking a 15 or 13-0 run. Getting 3 steals in a row, just hustling.
Is he the biggest surprise for you?
No, he's not. The biggest surprise for me is MPJ. The way MPJ is not afraid of the big lights, and the fact that even after he made such a bonehead blunder, I was going to talk about it on today's show, but I think it's kind of been blown over now that the Nuggets have played, but I still think it was a bonehead thing of him. It's not that what he said was wrong. I just felt like where he said it was wrong.
He's had a few of those press hiccups
before.
He's a young guy.
He's young and he needs a little more maturity. And I think after that incident, I think that kind of woke him up to the maturity. But that he's been my biggest surprise. But Harris did hit like 2 or 3 threes. Not to mention he had 4 total steals, 3 in a row, and then he hit 2 of 4 from 3. So he had his biggest playoff high of 16 points, 4 steals, and 2 of 4 from 3. That's his best game in the bubble since he's come back.
Both of those threes come into at big moments in the fourth, too.
Huge moments. Huge moments. You know, even Craig, who Bashman calls the GOAT, had a big one. Like, he didn't even want to take that three. I think if it wasn't for his, you know, Morris encouraging him to take that three, and the defender basically daring him to take that three.
And you've seen them do that to him quite a bit this series.
Right, because he usually misses that shot.
Right, but he made a layup right before that, too. I don't know if you remember.
Right.
Driving to the rim. So I think
he didn't have a great game, but the moments that he did have were great.
He gave us what we needed.
That three-point shot put the Nuggets ahead, and they never relinquished the lead from that point. MPJ, let's talk a little MPJ while we have the time here. MPJ played a very solid game. Now, I've been overly critical of this young man, especially his talking to the media. I feel like he needed more on the defensive side of the ball before he really got any significant minutes. I was wrong on that aspect. He still, you know, I believe he's been plus 12 or more. Period. I mean, like,
these,
every game.
These last few games that we've
he's
that we've
been
won.
Like the spark of the offense. So I think that his offense does override the defense. That's where I was wrong. But he had a solid game, man. 13 points off the bench. But the intangibles to me were glaring. He's moving his feet on D. He's playing fairly well. He doesn't look as lost.
The effort's there.
Right, and that's what
matters.
For lack
of a better, you know,
that's what matters. You make guys nervous. You make guys nervous, especially when they think that you don't play good defense, but you're moving your feet and you're making the right moves. You're not necessarily playing great, but you're making the right moves.
And that was the problem, too, is, you know he's got to be hearing this.
Right.
And not just from coach. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, you're not doing good enough. Malone's a great coach. He's obviously going
right.
to coach him up to what he needs to do, you know, that we don't see behind the scenes.
Right. He sees the practices we don't.
Yeah. But, I mean, you would expect a guy like that to fold sometimes. At some point. Because not only is he just taking all of this bashing from everybody, everywhere.
Right. Publicly.
Yeah, and then he just keeps showing up, improving, and then hitting shots.
Well, that's the key thing that I think most people should key on with his comments after game 5 is, you know, this team could have imploded after that. This team could have fell apart, picked him apart. It could have split. It could have split the locker room. Definitely could have split the locker room, and it just didn't. This team, that shows the resiliency of this team, But the main things that I want to take away from MPJ playing, it was his timely block in the fourth, and he almost shot 60% from the floor, and he did shoot 50% from three. As a rookie in his first playoff campaign against a team that has three of the, like we said, best defenders in the league, best defensive team all season except for the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, they're one of. So, I mean, that speaks volumes to the character of this kid. And I'm going to ease up just a little bit on MPJ and just let this kid grow.
He's doing the right things.
Yeah, and then Jokic obviously is just playing out of his mind. 34 points. Let me pull up his stats here quick.
I got him right here.
34 points, 60% shooting, 14 boards, 7 assists, and he finally got a block shot in this game. So the only thing he was missing was a dunk and a partridge in a pear tree. But when we come back, we are going to talk. We're going to play the give and go. We're going to talk game 6, game 7. We're going to play the pick and roll. And we're going to break down how the Nuggets can win Game 7 tonight. You're listening to Take That L on GoMileHigh.com.
River Bed and Breakfast for an inviting and relaxing retreat in the southwestern Colorado mountains. Whether you're kicking up your feet in the comfy day room or sipping on cocktails down by the river, you're sure to have a great time.
Enjoy fishing, hiking, and hunting, all with the comforts of walk-in showers, private balconies overlooking the beautiful Cacharis River and Valley, and breakfast cooked fresh daily by the loving hands of the owner, Galen Smith. If you get hungry in the afternoon or evening, grab a cold one, good company, and grill out on the deck. Or you can come sit stay at the famous Dog Bar and Grill, just a stone's throw from the B&B. Book your room now at CacharisRiverBnB.com. That's CucharaS RiverBnB.com. Cacharis River Bed and Breakfast. Tell them Arthur sent you.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Pretty young Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
All right, I will, baby girl, I will. Welcome back to Take That L. I am Arthur Knight, and with me is Anthony, the intern, Romano.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. I want to get this in really quick before we get to the give and go. Grant didn't show up on the stat sheet offensively, but he did keep Kawhi Leonard to 25 points on 8 of 18 shooting. You can't ask for much more from your primary defender on their best offensive player. Like, he basically, that's a shutdown of Kawhi Leonard, because his 25 points mainly came from the line. He only had 8 shots that he made. So most of his points came from fouls that he got from the free throw line,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and we know a player like Kawhi, you know, he's just going to get points anyway. It's just going to happen. Even when he has a bad night, if we're cheesing over 25 points from him right now, and we should be, because he's that kind of player.
Right. That's he basically shaved about 5 to 10 points off of his scoring total in the whole series,
yeah.
Basically, because he's averaged 30
exactly.
points the series.
And I think the big thing to mention there too is, I don't know if it was just, it wasn't even like it was an off night for Grant. He only took 3 shots the whole night.
Right. And he missed all 3.
Yeah.
just sad.
And then, you know, his minutes were down a little bit, 20, but there was just so much going on with other guys that had to get in there.
Yeah. Everybody else was playing good offensively.
We got to mention it real quick. Just brilliant coaching and rotation from Malone. Like,
yes.
You heard Van Gundy questioning him. He's like, he's taking Jokic and Murray out now.
And sat him. Well, so did Mark Jackson. He was like, there would be no way if I was coaching
exactly.
right now that my 2 stars would be sitting.
Exactly.
Well, that's why both of you are in the commentator booth and not on the court. All right, JG, with that said, hit us with that first one.
What surprised you the most about the comeback in Game 6?
All right, Anthony, hit us with your take.
You know what the weird thing is I can't say that anything surprised me. It was super, super weird. Normally, you're down 19 points. You're just losing it, you know? As mm-hmm. a fan, you're going crazy. I was never worried. It was a weird, weird calming, which never comes over me, especially watching the Nuggets, watching sports at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I was never worried. It's weird to say. Hmm. Even at that big of a deficit, it was just, something was in the air.
You got ice water in your veins, brother.
Something. I wasn't sleeping. I was watching.
You're confident in this team. You're as confident in this team, it sounds like, than Malone is. Because he was confident that they were not going to lose that game.
And the whole time, too, his demeanor never changed.
Right.
Not for a second. Neither the guys
playing, team too,
like you
exactly.
mentioned earlier.
Exactly.
So, what about you? Did something surprise you? Did you expect it?
The Nuggets, and I've been telling this to people for the past few weeks now, you know, especially when the Utah series, when they went down 3-1. I was like, the resiliency of this team and the fact that I've seen them come back so many times and then they beat, you know, like – a team with only 7 players. I think that was Utah that they beat with only 7 players. They went into Milwaukee, were down 15 to them, beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee.
That's right.
So we've seen it happen before. So like you said, it's not like I was basically discouraged. But my biggest surprise in that whole situation last night was the gumption and the just the attitude of the team after they came out. Like I was telling you off the air, when Malone had made that comment that, you know, come on, Black, keep fighting, I believe in you. You know, Millsap was the only one that put his hand in, you know, if you watch the game and during that break, he was the only one that put his hand in, like, you know, the normal team does, like, break. And so to me as a fan watching that, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it did.
I was like, this team has no life. And then they came out and had a 13-0 run after that.
It's just at this point, if this team was going to roll over for anything, it would have happened, you know.
It would have happened already.
Weeks ago in the first series.
But
you know?
I'd have to say my biggest surprise was the defensive effort of MPJ and the Nuggets team from that end of that third quarter to the fourth quarter. Just their level of intensity was on a whole nother scale, on a whole nother level than the Clippers were ready for. JG, hit us with that second one.
How do you feel about the Nuggets' chances to win Game 7?
Go ahead, brother.
I feel pretty good now. Like I was saying, after Game 6, there's still always that, you know, that anxiousness, that nervous. It's going to be way worse for me tonight now that we're actually in Game 7.
As we get closer to game time.
Yeah, my calming feeling is going to be gone 100% tonight. But it's just like they have all the momentum in the world. So much about sports, so much about basketball mm-hmm. is about streaks and momentum.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they keep coming back. And so, I mean, they have nothing to lose now. And the Clippers are the ones who are on the ropes, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. I agree with that statement. I think the Nuggets have a really good chance to win tonight's game. It is going to take a complete team effort. They are going to do their best. I mean, the Clippers, and I said this about Game 6, and the Nuggets are going to have to do the same thing they did in Game 5 and Game 6. The Clippers are going to come out, and they're going to try to take the heart of the Nuggets immediately. Okay, they're going to give them haymaker after haymaker after haymaker after haymaker.
First quarter discrepancies this whole series has been exactly like that.
Is insane, except for the one game where the Nuggets blew them out in the first quarter.
Right.
They've basically owned the Nuggets in the first and second quarter.
I think that was game two, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that the Nuggets' chances to win are high. They're a lot higher than they were in Game 5. They're a lot higher than they were in Game 6, to be honest with you. So I think the Nuggets have a really good chance to win this game. We'll get into a little bit deeper about how they're going to win this game or how they could win this game later on in a segment later on in the show. But I think they have a really good chance to win. JG?
Which team has more pressure to win tonight, the Nugs or the Clips?
I'm gonna go with the Clippers for sure because they were the golden child going into this whole bubble. Going into the playoffs period, they were, because they had made such a tight run with their limiting minutes of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard throughout the regular season.
Load management.
I really think that that's going to come back to bite them in the backside, just like for the Nuggets, it came back to bite Coach Malone in the backside for resting his players during the bubble games. I think he should have played those games and had the at least a good amount of minutes for his starters to play.
For everybody.
Even if he treated it like the football teams do in their fourth game of their preseason.
The preseason game, yeah.
Have their players play a half or three quarters, and then, you know, the scrubs play their fourth quarter or second half. I think that the continuity of this team is what's going to cause them to lose this game tonight, the Clippers, that is. I think because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George just came to this team this year, the rest of the team has been on the team, but those two were the key to them getting over the hump, right? And if those two can't get the continuity and the chemistry going, they're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, you could not be more right about the pressure being on them, and it's so wonderful. There's something about this Nuggets team that when they're expected to do something or win, they usually don't deliver on it.
Right.
So they, I mean, it's weird, but they love these uphill battles.
They like being the underdog.
And the biggest thing here, also relating back to your last question about their chances to win, is this team is so loose. They're not worried at all.
They're just playing basketball and having fun, as Jokic said.
Exactly. Like we said earlier, their demeanor hasn't changed. It's all the same. Jokic is smiling, joking with the media after the game. I think Jeff Van Gundy, when he was walking off the court, he said,
"Does that guy look like he has any pressure on him?"
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so.
And I'm going to relate this real quick to another just kind of weird sporting moment that always stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. In the UFC, McGregor Aldo back in 2016, the very beginning of that fight, Joe Rogan says, "Conor looks so loose," and he says, "Aldo looks like the guy who's feeling the pressure," and then he gets knocked out in 13 seconds.
Right.
This is the same situation, is because those Clippers, if we win, we're overachieving. If they lose in the second round,
it's epic.
It's a huge bust.
It's epic.
Huge bust.
It really is.
It's all or nothing for him. That's why those two guys are on the team.
The Clippers look like a defeated team in their last timeout. It was like right after Patrick Beverley had fouled out, and I saw Kawhi Leonard sit down, and he just exhaled like, "Oh my God, these guys keep coming." Like, you can just see it on his face. Like, these guys are going to keep coming. They're not going to just roll over.
And the other uncharacteristic too was Doc Rivers.
Right.
I mean, you could see it in here too, and you could even tell he just, that fourth quarter, he was subbing guys in and out trying to get whatever he could.
He went to no center in the last 4 minutes.
And then he
tried to play Houston small ball, thinking that, okay, well, the Nuggets had problems with Houston all season, so let's go small ball and see if that works. And that ended up giving the Nuggets like a 10-point lead.
And I mean, it's good coaching. He's got to try something.
He tried to make an adjustment.
That's not a guy that gets shaken up though.
We got enough time for one more, JG. All right, let's go for it.
Apologies. If the Nuggets can't pull out the win tonight, is this season a bust, or is the future still bright for this team?
I'll take this one first. I'm going to go with the future is still bright with this team. It's a bit of a bust, but it's not like, I mean, they were in the same position last year. Heck, they were in the same position last week. So I would like to see the Nuggets win this game 7 instead of losing it like they did to Portland last year. But they've got the experience now. I think that that's what's been carrying them these last two games, is their experience from last season. The last season, last series, all rests on their shoulders, and this team can be down, but they're never out. So I think that it's the future is still bright, because MPJ is only going to get better. Inserting him into the starting lineup next season, or even the season after that, is going to make this Nuggets, I mean, that's going to give another double guy on the starting lineup, man. So with that said, what do you think?
If we lose, it'll be disappointing, but no, it's not a bust by any means. If you look back, we were never supposed to be as good a team as we were last year
Right, with took, all the trades and stuff
exactly,
they made.
When
right.
we took the second seed here. And it's the same thing this year. If you look at these West teams on paper before the season, mm-hmm. we should at least be the fourth seed, if not lower.
Four, five, or six is where the Nuggets
if
should
you're
be
just
on
looking,
paper.
Yeah, if you're just looking at rosters.
Yeah, that's
so,
for sure.
I mean, like I said, disappointing, but by no means that future is bright.
Yeah, the future is bright. We can't wait for tonight's show. When we come back, we're going to play the pick and roll, and we're going to have Mr. Becker play. We'll welcome him to the show. You are listening to Take That L on GoMileHigh.com. You pass out when I shatter that glass mouth. In my jiu-jitsu, faster than pit crews. You wake up from that coma, you be asking who hits you. Relax, kid, I'm not packing mad tins. My life is like a movie, lights, camera, action.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama,
what?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Also needs to shut his mouth. We're talking about Patrick Whoopi Goldberg looking like Beverly. Let me stop. I'm going to stop talking about that man. That's actually an insult to Whoopi Goldberg. welcome back to Take That L. I am Arthur Knight, and with me is Anthony, the intern, Romano, and also Alex Becker. Alex, introduce yourself to the people again. I know you've been on the show a few times, but let the people know where they can follow you.
You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Becker Media. That's probably the best avenue. Back for another edition of the Pick and Roll.
Yes.
I think I got two last time.
I got whooped last
Yao
week by
and
this
Spud
man.
Webb, so I haven't forgotten. It's fresh in the mind. And
I'm
ready for some more.
He's rubbing it in your face right now. Like,
no, Anthony's got me before too. So
I was on a nice little winning streak, and then he just bulldozed me last week.
You know, you sound like the Clippers.
yeah.
So, So technically, you're the right now. You're the Clippers. He's the Nuggets. So yeah. We'll see.
If I get one of these, I'm gonna yell like Patrick does. So. Yeah. So just hope you stump me.
You can also catch Alex Becker. He's a great play-by-play guy and color analyst for not Mile High Sports anymore.
PrepSpotlight.tv.
That's right. He great play-by-play guy. I watch a lot of his games. You should too. Okay, so we're going to get right into the pick and roll. But first, let me tell you, you can follow us on Facebook at Take That L, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Take That L5. You can catch our podcast or download our podcast anywhere you can find podcasts, Spotify, etc. But specifically, you can find us on takethatl.podbean.com and takethatl.anchor.fm. All right, guys, are you ready?
Let's do it.
I'm so ready.
All right, you know the rules. This is a glorified basketball guess who. Let me make sure you've got your phone. Now, see, he's trying to cheat you already. Look at him.
Look at him. Just cheating. It started early.
Turn it upside down. Don't even give me the opportunity to accuse you of something.
It was the game 6 stat line, everyone.
It was. I saw. He showed. All right. First player is 6-time All-Defensive. Also, a 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. Guess who? And we'll start with our guest here. We'll go with Mr. Becker.
All right. Let's see. Is he a current player in today's NBA?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Tyson Chandler.
That was a good guess. That is wrong.
Okay.
That was your. There you go. Anthony,
she had it at the ready. Is this a big man? Is he not a guard?
He's not a guard.
Okay, I'm gonna say Dwight Howard.
Not Dwight Howard.
6-time All Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And 2-time Defensive Player of the Year.
That is correct.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So this player was drafted in the first round by the Indiana Pacers. Guess who? Becker.
Okay. Is this person a NBA Finals MVP?
Yes.
Is this Kawhi Leonard?
It is Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Dang it. I was hoping I wouldn't give too much of obvious.
Oh, no. I remember was it George Hill? It's for Kawhi on draft night?
I believe so.
Yeah, Pacers, Spurs.
Yeah. I believe so.
Oh, I remember it. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
I got a buddy in Indiana who still talks about that.
Man, I thought that would be a curveball. I didn't think you'd be able to get it from that. I thought that might be a curveball, but I think that gave it away.
you hung it a little bit.
I hung it.
You left it up. And
I did. I did. You bammed it down. You bammed it down one-handed. I like it. Posterized. All right, next player. This player is also a 4-time All-Star and is also a part of an All-Defensive team. Guess who? Anthony.
A 1-time All-Defensive team?
Correct. Was that your question? I'll give you another question.
I just need some clarification. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Is this person currently in the playoffs?
Yes.
Paul Millsap?
No way.
I think it's Millsap. Huh? It 4-time All-Star. Yeah.
God dang it. Dag nabbit. All right, 1-1. 1-1. Hopefully y'all won't get this one. Hey. What are you doing? What are you doing over here?
Hell no.
He's tripping. He's tripping, JG.
Tell him again. We missed JG on the board last week.
We did.
She's making up for it.
All right. Next player is a 6-time All-Star and also a Rookie of the Year. Guess who? Becker.
Okay, 6-time All-Star. All right. Is this person a big man?
Yes.
Okay. Is this person Anthony Davis?
It is not.
Okay.
We're going to knock out all the obvious ones first. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Anthony.
Okay, 6-time All-Star. Were they drafted in the 2010s?
Let's see. 2010. So you mean 2010 and beyond?
And beyond, yes.
No.
Okay, earlier than that.
So he's pre-2010.
6-time All-Star. And I'm sorry, what was the second hit?
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. Thank you. John Wall?
No, that was a good guess. All right.
He may have been right at 2010, I think. But
that might have been
anyway.
that class, actually.
All right. This player, let me see. What's the good hint here? Was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks. Guess who? Becker.
Okay. I have a feeling he didn't win Rookie of the Year with the Hawks, though.
Hell no.
Okay. is this person currently in the NBA?
Ooh, that's a good question. No.
No. Okay.
No, I think he is not playing this year.
Bit. Okay. Let's see.
She's ruthless back there.
No. I don't know. I'm gonna say Jason Terry.
Nope. That was a good question. Good guess. All right, Anthony.
Did this person win a championship?
Yes.
Al Horford.
No, that was a good guess.
Ooh, that was good.
I had to throw one out
good.
There.
All right. This person played 20 years in the league on five teams, winning a championship with one. Guess who? Becker.
Okay. Let's see. Is this person a point guard?
No.
No.
We already said he's a big man.
Big man. Oh, yeah. I get another guess or no?
I'll give you another guess.
Okay. Was he drafted in the 90s?
He was no. He was not.
Oh man. Okay. Dominique Wilkins, human highlight film.
No. Good guess though. All right, Anthony.
Did this person win a championship on an Eastern Conference team?
No, but that was a good question. I like that. He did not.
Pau Gasol?
Nice. It is Pau Gasol. He's on fire today.
That was good.
That was good. How'd you come up with that?
I was trying to think of a guy who like isn't playing but still probably should be, and my mind was just going all over.
Yeah. I had no idea he was drafted by the Hawks in the first place.
See, that I did not know either.
And then he won Rookie of the Year with Memphis? With the Grizz. It's
yes.
got to be.
Grizzlies.
Yeah.
It was, yep. He won Rookie of the Year with the Grizzlies.
Were they still
and he won
up
both
in
of
Vancouver?
His championships with
no,
LA.
I think they just moved from Vancouver.
They were in Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess the guy's not that old.
No, he was drafted in 2001.
01? Okay,
yeah.
So right at that
And
limit.
He was born the same year as me, so if you say he's old, I'm going to slap you on the air.
Definitely a huge part of those last two Lakers championship teams, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think in 09 and 2010.
Part. And congratulations to Pau Gasol and his wife on having a baby this week and honoring Gianna Bryant with naming their daughter after her. So that was pretty cool on his part. All right, let's try to get at least one more in here.
All right.
This player also is a Rookie of the Year and a two-time All-Star. Guess who? Romano.
Rookie of the Year, two-time All-Star. Was he drafted recently in the past 5 years?
Negative.
Two-time All-Star and a Rookie of the Year?
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kidd. I know that's
nope.
wrong.
Nope. Good guess.
Is this guy currently in the NBA?
No.
Okay. Let's go. Come on, man.
She'll get you every time, Becker.
She makes me nervous, man. That's why I start saying these bad guesses.
Yeah. Mike Miller.
Oh, Mike Miller, no.
Because he did win Rookie of the Year, by the way.
He did. All right. So this player played for 10 years on two different teams, one of which is the New York Knicks. Guess who? Anthony.
Two teams, one of which was the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Did he win the Rookie of the Year with the Knicks?
No.
Stephon Marbury?
No, was not Stephon Marbury. Good guess, though.
Okay. Did he mostly play in the 1990s?
Yes.
Okay. Is this Larry Johnson?
It is.
Grandmama. Ooh.
Grandmama.
Let's go. I do have his jersey with the Hornets, that number two.
I did too. Yeah. I did too. Grandmama is my dude. That's Larry Johnson LJ. Was my dude.
All right. 2-2.
2-2.
2-2.
All right. I think this only have enough time for one more. So this is gonna decide it. Let me pick one of these ones that's a little more down to. Yeah, let's do this guy. All right. This guy is a four-time NBA champion. Four-time NBA champion.
Four times.
Guess who? Becker.
Still a current player?
No.
No. Shane Battier. I don't know.
No, that was a good guess.
I have no idea.
I forgot about Shane Battier. What a good player.
Did he win championships with multiple teams?
No.
Okay.
Well, not as far as I know. I'm pretty sure he won all four of them with the same team. Let me double check that. Hold on.
Okay.
Yes, he won all four championships with one team.
All right. Did he win those in the Western Conference?
Yo, you want? Let me guess first.
Oh, did you? Oh, I thought you guessed. Sorry.
Come on, Alex man. Is eager to win here.
No, my bad.
Tony Parker.
No, but good guess.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right, let me give you another hint here.
I think he did win four also.
Four chips with the same team. That's going to narrow it down a little bit.
This guy played 12 years in the league on five teams. Guess who?
Okay.
Becker.
Did he win his championships on a Western Conference team?
No.
Okay, this person is, man.
Got about 1 minute.
Dwayne Wade. I don't know.
Nah, not Dwayne Wade. All right.
Was he a Chicago Bull?
No.
Oh, my gosh, man. You are killing us today.
this is a good one.
I should have started with this one. Well-known guy, seriously.
Four championships total.
Yes.
All in the East.
Yep.
12 years with five teams.
With the same team. Larry Bird?
Nope.
Man, because you got to go back for this.
Yeah, you do. All right, last hint. Let's see. Went to college at Georgia Tech and was drafted in the first round, 11th overall pick.
Oh,
guess
man.
Who?
Okay.
I'll give you even a little more. In 1986.
Drafted in 86.
First round, 11th pick overall.
Okay.
Guess who, Becker?
All right. I don't think this is right, but I'm going to go Dennis Smith, 3D.
That is a good guess.
Because he's a Georgia Tech
guy.
That is a good guess. But I don't think he won four championships.
He did not win four championships, so you're wrong on that one.
Dennis Scott, I meant, not Dennis Smith.
I knew who you meant. Yeah. I knew who you
3D.
Meant.
3D.
To clarify again, all four, same team.
Correct.
And not a Chicago Bull.
Nope.
So, Isaiah Thomas?
No.
Is this... Oh,
no,
sorry.
It was not Isaiah Thomas. All right, last guess is because we gotta get to break.
Real quick, is it Mark Price?
It is not.
Okay.
You are close. You are very close.
Is it a Bad Boy Piston?
It is a Bad Boy Piston.
Oh, man, it can't be Dennis Rodman.
It is not Dennis Rodman. It is John Sally.
Sally. I was going to say Rodman didn't go to Georgia Tech.
No, Rodman didn't go to Georgia. It was John Sally.
How did he get four rings?
He won four
the
with
Bulls.
The,
yeah. He won one with the Bulls in the 90s.
Oh, so he didn't win it with all. That's my bad. He won three with the
I think
Pistons
that like the first ring Jordan got back after he came back from retirement, John Sally
was
and Robert Parrish were both on those Bulls teams.
Yep,
yeah,
yep,
which
yep.
is crazy.
That's my bad. That might have helped y'all. My bad.
That's like, is mathematically possible.
I cheated a little bit.
That was a good one, Arthur.
Thank you. All right. We'll be right back. We're going to break down Game 7 for the Denver Nuggets. Y'all should be excited. This is Take That L on GoMileHigh.com. I'll be on stage gripping the sun. What? This is the life I lead.
into the Cacharis River Bed and Breakfast for an inviting and relaxing retreat in the southwestern Colorado mountains. Whether you're kicking up your feet in the comfy day room or sipping on cocktails down by the river, you're sure to have a great time. Enjoy fishing, hiking, and hunting, all with the comforts of walk-in showers, private balconies overlooking the beautiful Cacharis River and valley, and breakfast cooked fresh daily by the loving hands of the owner, Galen Smith. If you get hungry in the afternoon or evening, grab a cold one, good company, and grill out on the deck. Or you can come sit stay at the famous Dog Bar and Grill, just a stone's throw from the B&B. Book your room now at CacharisRiverBnB.com. That's CucharaS RiverBnB.com. Cacharis River Bed and Breakfast. Tell them Arthur sent you.
Hurry, young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
You're listening to Take That Out. Here's your host, Mark Arnott.
All right, welcome back to Take That L. I am Arthur Knight, and with me is Anthony, the intern, Romano, and Alex Becker. All right, fellas, so we're going to get right into the breakdown of Game 7. I'm just going to pose this question right now, just off the top. Anthony, how can the Nuggets win the game and take this series from the Clippers? How specifically... What did they specifically have to do to win this game tonight? Like, give me something specific.
Yeah, they need to not start slow. Like we were just talking about, first quarter discrepancies between them and us have been large, with the exception of one game. So that's the first thing, is to get in a rhythm early. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if they didn't have to come back from that many points. You know, apparently it's something that they like to do. But if they can, you know, get it started and, you know, just keep it close at the beginning, not have to put themselves in that hole, you know, the earlier the better.
Okay, so a fast start. We'll win this game for them. All right, Becker.
All right, I'm gonna be pretty specific here. I'm gonna say they're gonna need to get a good shooting night from Nikola Jokic again. I'm talking about outside shots. Clippers favored by 7.5. You know, who knows what's gonna happen in the first and second quarter. Nuggets have proved they're a four-quarter team. They come alive in the second half, but I don't think they can do it tonight without the good shooting, perimeter shooting of Nikola Jokic. He's got to hit those open shots. You know he's going to get some open looks. I'd like to see the Joker knock those down in some crunch time. Game 7.
All right. Which he did in game six.
He did.
So
he did.
So like, I mean, I think he only missed two shots in the second half.
Oh,
so.
He was
hopefully on. Hopefully he's still in rhythm, still feeling it.
He was playing out of his mind. And I meant to talk about that earlier in the show that, you know, I was like, Jokic, 34 points, you know, double-double with the boards.
Yeah.
Yeah, seven assists. I mean, the man is playing out of his mind right now. For me, this is how the Nuggets win this game. Rebounds. Mm. They have to out-rebound the Clippers and limit the Clippers on their fast break points and their second chance points. I think that's how the Clippers have been able to beat them in the games that they did beat them, especially when they beat them handily, is that they out-rebounded the Nuggets. Now, the Nuggets out-rebounded them the last two games that they've won. They've out-rebounded. Now, it hasn't been, like, significant, you know, but it's been at least 10 more rebounds. I think tonight the Nuggets have to get 45 plus maybe 50 rebounds. At least 15 of those have to be offensive and get second-chance points and not allow the Clippers to get out on a break at any point in time. By collecting rebounds and getting second-chance points on the offensive glass for the Nuggets, that gives the Nuggets a chance to set their defense. Like, they could get out to a fast-paced run from after a score, but it is much harder to do than off of a rebound, right? So when you get off of a rebound, you're in rhythm to turn around and run up the floor. When they just scored, you have to grab the ball, you have to step outside, you have to make sure your foot's not over the line when you throw the ball in. There's all kinds of things that gives the defense an extra few precious seconds to set themselves to stop the Clippers from getting any kind of fast break points. Now that to me is the key stat that the Nuggets are going to have to do. They're going to have to rebound their butts off. I mean, MPJ is going to have 10 to 15 rebounds tonight. He can't have seven. That's just not going to cut it tonight. I also think that if he gets, let's say he gets 12 rebounds, right? And four or five of those are offensive rebounds. I think those four or five offensive rebounds translate into 10 points. Right?
Or at least free throws, because you know he'll go right back up with it.
At bare minimum, you're getting about 10 points from those offensive rebounds.
And when Torrey Craig's in the game, too, he's got to crash the glass.
Boards. Millsap, boards. Anybody who is not scoring well in the past three games needs to be
just
on
grab the ball.
Glass, man. And I think, honestly, to be honest with you, I think that is literally how the Nuggets win this game.
And like you said about, you know, turning around right away, giving him in a rhythm. Mm-hmm. That's huge for that defensive unit that the Clippers have to not be able to get set.
Right.
So if we can grab a board, run down the floor real quick, try to get a quick score, that's going to be a huge difference.
Exactly.
You're spot on with that.
Rebounds will always win games for you, man. I mean, why do you think the Bulls in the 90s went out and got Rodman? Rodman wasn't a great shooter. Heck, Rodman wasn't even a great free throw shooter.
0-30 stat lines, man.
Right.
Yeah.
But the man would do what? He'd be on that glass, boy. He's getting you second chance points. He's getting you fast break points. He's getting you those boards and taking away other opportunities for the other team. And that's who we need. And that puts me right into a good segue into my next question. Who will be the hero of Game 7 besides the obvious Murray or Jokic? Don't give me that crap. who? Who off the bench? Who in the starting five? Becker.
I'm going to go Gary Harris. I think he was huge in last round, game seven, playing great defense against Donovan Mitchell. He closed the game great. Great fourth quarter in game six. So shooting the ball well. You know, if he can knock down a few of those threes, that's huge. We all know what he gives defensively. He's such a big part of this team, even if he's not scoring. I think so many people don't realize how key Gary Harris is into stopping the attack of the other team. So
that guy's a wall.
If I can't go Murray, if I can't go Jokic, I got to go G.
All right, G Money. All right, Anthony.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually was going to go the same way here. Did want to touch on Jeremy Grant a little bit. Him and Gary Harris kind of do the same things for you on both sides. You know, knock down an open three, and then obviously it's those guys hounding the stars on the other side there.
Right.
But I think with what Harris was able to bring in that fourth quarter, not just knocking down those two big threes, but also the steals we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, four steals. Three of which were, like, key
right.
steals. He and back-to-back-to-back.
Couple offensive rebounds, too.
And yeah. You know, our obvious heroes, we're going to need them to get buckets. But it's like, if he's that third guy, you can get 15 points from him, and especially a big shot when you need it, mm-hmm. that's going to make the world of difference. Because let's not forget, Gary Harris was supposed to be the star of this team how many years ago?
Right.
He still got the talent.
Right.
Whatever happened.
It was the injury that kind of slowed him up a little bit. The hip likely, injury especially.
Most likely, yeah.
So I'm going to go with MPJ.
Okay.
The guy that I've been the most hard on and most critical of this team. The reason why is because everyone else on this team, except for a few bench players that don't get much minutes, was in the same position last year. He was here on this team, so he knew what the Nuggets went through. So right. It's not like he didn't get watching. That experience. You know, he didn't play, but he got that experience of feeling how that loss was. I'm going to go with MPJ because I think if he can get that 10 to 15 mark on the boards, and if he still just has a 13-point night, those 10 to 15 boards is going to translate into points. And that is what's going to be the key to these Nuggets winning.
Well, and he's the guy, too, to touch on that real quick, Arthur. When we were down by a lot of those,
mm-hmm.
he was the guy that can stop that bleeding from right. anywhere yeah. to right. at least get you a bucket.
He took a couple bonehead shots. Okay. He took a couple bonehead shots, and he had a couple of turnovers. But when he's been asked to step up, when Murray in game, what was it, game five, when Jokic was about to pass it to Murray, and he said no, pass it to him, and he just drained it.
Right.
That's what they're going to need from him this evening. And before, because I know we're running out of time here, before we go, game seven score predictions. Who wins, and give me a score, Becker.
Oh, man. Okay, I've almost
won it on the record.
I picked against the Nuggets in just about every time. I remember last series against Utah, I picked against them. Earlier in this series, you asked me who I thought was going to win. I said the Clippers in like five or six. So mm-hmm. it's time. It is time. It's Mile High basketball time. Nug life. 111-107. Denver Nuggets are going to the Western Conference Finals, and Lakers, we're coming for you, baby.
All right, my man. I like that spirited pick. Go. All right.
That is Romano. That is polar opposite from when he was sitting in that chair last week. But hey, we'll take it. I think both teams are going to clamp down a little bit. I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring. Neither team's going to hit 100. I think it's going to be about 96, 98 to 90 with a couple garbage time free throws. But hometown's staying in the bubble.
All right. I'm going to go with our Nuggets. I'm going to go 105 to 100. And I think it's a close game down the line. I don't think there is any garbage time in this game. I think that both teams play their starters down to the last minute. I also think that this is the game where both coaches tighten their belt, and most players that are on the bench are not going to get a lot of minutes.
Game seven?
I think you're going to see some minutes fall off from a couple guys. Yeah.
This is where the superstars show up. You're going to see a lot of Kawhi, a lot of PG, and a lot of Jokic and Murray. So
yeah.
Get ready, Denver. I think he's been the best player in the series. See if he keeps it up.
He's been the best player in the bubble. And with that said, that is our show for today. I'd like to thank you both, Anthony Romano and Alex Becker, for coming on and helping me out. I am, on behalf of myself, Arthur Knight, and JG, always doing her thing behind the boards. Thank you for listening to Take That L on GoMileHigh.com. Let's go, Nuggets!
Yeah!